So number three, Jesus is the perfect answer. He's the perfect answer. So what's different? I'll just say, I guess, that is on YouTube just for the recording, and if anybody wants to write that down, it's if you type in YouTube and you go to Lifehouse Skit Everything, that's what that, it's a 5 minute and 30 second clip. So Jesus is the only answer. That is an awesome way to portray it. You can look at that video and you can talk about so many things with that video. We're just going to cover, why is Jesus the only answer? What is different with Jesus? Dan's little snippet before he started playing. Why is Jesus any different than Buddha? I think Keaton was talking about it. Muhammad, the Indian gods, the millions of gods that they have. Why is he any different? Number one, he lived a perfect sinless life. I guarantee you Gandhi, Buddha, Muhammad, they're all human beings that just thought they were good. So that's their number one mistake right there. They thought they were something better than what they ever could be or ever were. So they were done from their first thought. So that sealed their deal, their fate right there. Okay? Go grab a shovel. Go find Muhammad's grave. Go find whoever else, Buddha, Gandhi, and start digging, and you're going to find a pile of bones. If that's what's left ever that many years. Probably dust, whatever else. They were done. Their bodies were put in the ground and done. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. They hung him on a cross. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. No one else has ever done that. That sealed it. That was done. That means he won. Because everybody said that he would just... they died. That he'd die. And he'd stay dead just like everybody else does. And that was... put the seal, put the stamp. It was done. It's over. As soon as he was raised, it was done. So... what does Jesus have to offer through all this? Rest is what Jesus has to offer. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, page 1162. Flip there. It's on the board, I think, maybe, not. No, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I didn't write that up there. So Acts 4:12, it's page 1162, upper left-hand corner. There is salvation in no one else. No one. Not Gandhi, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not yourself. No one means nobody. That takes out everything of... I can do this. I've got to be good. I can follow the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. If I'm good enough, I will get to heaven. God just said, not me. God just said, no one. That takes everything off the table. There's nothing. There's one way. And that's Christ. Okay? So, the three types of rest that we're going to look at the free gift. We're going to look at rest for your soul, and we're going to look at eternal rest. Okay? Dan and I were talking earlier today. He brought up a great verse that Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that we will be destroyed without knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of the saving fact, or the knowledge of the fact that Christ is your Savior, you will be destroyed. Period. End of it. Done. So this class, this next, I don't even know when I started after that. How much time do I got? Till when? Did we? Okay. So, tell him done. Which it won't be long, I promise. So, the three types of gift. The first one we're going to talk about is free gift. Without Christ as a gift, there is no rest of eternal salvation. Okay? So, you're resting in the fact that you have salvation with Jesus. How can you rest if you... How nervous are you? We'll take last night as an example. Are you going to rest in that storm up there?
No.
You weren't going to rest, were you? You were all running around like it was crazy. Right? You weren't resting. Jesus' salvation puts you in a spot that you can rest and relax to say that I got this. I already know the end of the story. I know where I'm going. I put up here all sorts of salvation messages or promises, I'm going to call them, verses, that we're not going to go to all of them, and this isn't even touching the surface of the messages that are in the Bible. So, if you want to write some of them down, because you know that you want to talk to your friends, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, on ways to have salvation, to have eternity in heaven, these are great verses to look at. Like I said, that's just scratching the surface. Obviously, John 3:16. Who can say that off the top of their head? I'm sure somebody can. Go ahead. Who? Go ahead, somebody. Somebody ought to know it. Okay. Eternal life. Got it. Okay. John 3:36. Flip to that page. 1123. Who wants to read that? Go to 14, verse 6. Nope, excuse me, I told you wrong. I flipped to the wrong one. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes, 1123, 336. Yep, go ahead. Yeah. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. So there. Salvation. Either you believe in the Son, you got it. You don't, you don't. Like I said, there's no sitting on the fence. So, John, if you look, there's a lot of... John is a great book. If you're looking to get started, I know Jeannie was talking about reading through your Bible. If you're really going to get interested in this and really want to know more about Jesus and who he was, start with the book of John. It is going to go through with a bunch of introductory knowledge and facts and stories and things about Jesus, who he was and what he did for his life and what he did for you. It's a great book to start, and it's an easy read to start there. So, eternal salvation. There again, Dan's song, "No power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck me from your hand." Does everybody get it that your salvation is eternal? There's no way that you can lose it. Even if you're sitting here today and you say, "Yes, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. That's what your blood was for. It washed away my sins. I'm going to follow you." You go a year from now, you go 2 years from now, and you start diving down. That video is a great example of it. Where was Jesus? Totally in the background. Jumping and waving and saying, "I'm still here, I'm still here." And all that stuff was happening to that girl. Did Jesus leave? Jesus didn't leave. He was still there. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19. If you want to flip to there, it's page 1353. Thirteen 1353. Page 1353 is 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without defect or blemish. If you redeem something, if you have a lottery ticket and you redeem it, it's redeemed, right? Redeemed is purchased. It's paid for. Christ's blood, that verse is saying Christ's blood has paid for your way to heaven. It's paid for. God would be a liar if he would say that you're going to lose your salvation, because the whole point of Jesus hanging on the cross would be worthless then. It'd be pointless. If he just, right there, he just said the blood did it. It's done. It's sealed. It's over with. So if you say, well, I can lose my salvation, I can go murder somebody, I can do whatever, you're going to lose out on some benefits. You're going to lose out on some growth. But you're still going to be in heaven.
Okay?
Number two, rest for your soul. How can you rest for your soul? By working together with Jesus. Well, you can say, in our minds, my mind, work has nothing to do with rest. Right? We're created to do things. We've covered that, right? If I don't fill my soul with the information that is needed, how am I going to accomplish anything? It's just like your car. If you don't put fuel in it, can you accomplish driving somewhere? You can't. There's no fuel to do it, right? Proverbs 16:27 is on page 656, which this translation is a little different. But it says, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. What does that mean? Why if you sit there and not do anything, why is that the Satan's workshop? Why is that what he wants you to do? Because we can't accomplish what we need to accomplish. We need to learn and study and apply the Word of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, page 1015, you can flip there. Matthew chapter 11, 29 through 30, page 1015. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ has already showed us his compassion, his love for dying on the cross, right? He's already paid the ultimate price. Now he's saying here, hang on, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to help you attain the higher things. I'm going to help you run your race. Even though I already died on the cross, I already went through all that crap, all that beatings, all that things that we talked about, Christ doesn't just hang up the towel and said, I'm done. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to hang out and wait till I see him in eternity. He's here to help us fight our day-to-day battles. There again, the video. Christ didn't leave. That lady accepted salvation. Right? That's what the whole beginning of that video was. She accepted salvation, but then got distracted. And Jesus just didn't say, oh, she's good enough. She's got salvation. She's in eternity in heaven with me forever. He hung out through all her trials and her tribulations, because when she wanted to come back, he was still there. So Jesus is here to help us run our race. So if we work together with Jesus to obtain this rest that we're trying to be restful for the work of our souls, we got to do what he tells us to do, right? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. It's page 1041. You're almost there, so just flip over. Anybody want to read that? Somebody different. Verse 19, page 1041. Any takers? Oscar? Page 1041. 19. Just read it all the way through. 19 to the other side of the page. There you go. Thank you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, to the end of ages. So he's saying, go. That is your commission. That is what God wants us to do. Just like I was talking before, we don't obtain salvation and then just disappear. God wants us to sit here and tell everybody. Micah, you were all jacked up about it last night. I got to tell this guy. I got to tell him. I'm going to go tell my friends at school. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell people. Have you ever thought of the fact that what if God puts you in that person's life to tell them about Jesus? What if that's the only reason you met that person? Could be. And what if you didn't? What if you didn't say what you were supposed to say? Somebody else will pick up the slack, hopefully, right? So, when you don't sleep or feed your body, you don't fire on all cylinders, right? Just like today. We're tired. I can't say that we're not hungry, but we're tired, and that does a lot. We're just foggy sometimes, right? We got a few birds on the antennas. We just ain't there. It's hard to do. And our soul won't rest and relax without filling it with the Word of God. It needs that to run. That's the oil in the engine to be able to make your soul work. You've got to keep filling it, otherwise it's not going to relax. So if you're sitting here not doing anything, you're just going to bounce. Because Satan's going to keep you distracted. That's why he wants you with idle hands. If you're distracted, you have no business doing God's work because you're focusing on everything else. So, number three is eternal rest. And I want to go to page 756, which is Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25. 756. Isaiah 65, verse 17 through 25. So we need to, with eternal rest, that is our, when you're dead, you're in heaven, you're done. It's your rest. That's why you run the race as hard as you can, and you slide across that finish line, exhausted, dragging, bleeding, fighting, scratching, whatever it takes to get against this finish line of your life. When I say finish line, that's the day that you take your last breath. You need to try to do everything that you can do to glorify God and to spread the Word of God, just like we just talked about, to say, go out and preach. Go out and tell everybody. It's not easy work. That's why it says, fight the good fight. Go forward. So here's a little bit of insight on why it'll be rest. So verse 17 in Isaiah 65, "For I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The past events will not be remembered or come to mind." You mean I won't remember that time that my brother was really mad or I was this I was a bully to this kid at school or whatever. Then be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I will create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will no longer be heard in her. No tears. How restful is it when you're shook up, when you're hurt because your mom and dad are fighting, your mom and dad died, somebody died, your grandparents died, somebody just got news they got cancer, something just happened. It's sad, right? Heaven's not sad. It's hard for us to rest when we've got all that happening. In her, a nursing infant will no longer live only a few days, or an old man not live out his days. Indeed, the youth will die at 100 years, and the one who misses 100 years will be cursed. People will build houses and live in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and others live in them, and they will not plant and others eat. So there's no more worries of thieves and intruders, murderers. You ain't got to lock your house in heaven. There's going to be none of that. You ain't got to worry about coming, somebody to come steal your stuff out of your garage or steal your stuff at school or steal your iPhone, whatever. There's going to be none of that in heaven. It's going to be a perfect environment. For my people's lives will be like the lifetime of a tree. My chosen ones will fully enjoy the work of their hands. You can enjoy your work. Nothing will be done in vain. I don't like going to work all the time. Probably really don't like going to work. I ain't gonna lie. I'd much rather be doing a lot of other things. All right? They will not labor without success or bear children destined for disaster. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord along with their descendants. Even before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But the serpent's foot will be dust. They will not do what is evil or destroy on my entire holy mountain, says the Lord. There's going to be peace. There's peace. So, Isaiah 66:22. I'm just going to read that real fast. Who has jerseys on? You ever like jerseys that got people's names on their back?
Yeah, I don't have one. Yeah.
You don't have one out, but you probably got home, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean if you have? If you play baseball, you play football or whatever, you've got a jersey and it's got your name on the back. You're part of the team. You own it. That's your jersey. You own it, right? That's you. That's marked you. That marks who you are. That marks you. Right? Isaiah 66:22 says that God's going to imprint His name on you. How cool is that? You are a child of God. You are His. That's eternal rest. When God says that He owns me, I can rest in the fact that God's the Creator. I don't have to worry about anything. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 is page 1361. We're almost done. But based on His promise, we wait for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness will dwell. So God tells us to wait. Rest in the fact and wait that it's all coming. So my question for you is, what are we waiting for? Why are you waiting? You know, Jesus says, the whole theme of the camp, I am. Jesus is the one who offers that rest. Jesus offers the rest of the free gift of salvation. To rest in the fact that we don't ever have to worry about anything. We know where we're going when we die. And it doesn't cost you anything. What a peace of mind that is. That I don't have to work for my eternity. It's 100% free. The rest for our soul when we work together with Jesus. The rest is that I'm going to do what God designed me to do. If I have Jesus here helping me do what needs to be done, I don't have to wonder, am I doing what God wants me to be doing? Eternal rest. Jesus offers me eternal rest of knowing that I can never lose that. I'm always going to be locked in the greatest, the most perfect environment. The cool thing about it is God created each and every one of us, and He knows us better than we know ourselves. Heaven's going to be the craziest, the coolest thing. We can't fathom it. Our minds don't work that way. So, I'm going to ask you something. And I know it's late. I'm right on my half hour. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to lay your heads down and close your eyes. And I don't want you to, if you're too close to a neighbor, I want you to scoot away. Because I want this to be your own time. Okay? No touching, no anything. This time's your own. So you need to examine your soul. And you need to ask yourself, will you accept the rest that God offers? Because you will reap what you sow. This whole camp has been designed to urge you to start a revival in your soul. If you start this revival in your soul, it will lead to a revival in the ones around you. If you're the one who's sitting here that's fighting against God and there is resistance and hardness in your heart, I ask that you please humble yourself. Stop fighting and enter the rest that only Jesus Christ, our Savior, can offer through His blood that He said He shed on the cross for you. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life, now's the time. Nobody's telling you to pay any money. Nobody's telling you that you got to do this, you got to do this. This is you one-on-one. It's your choice. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Satan's favorite word to us is tomorrow. Because we always think that we can accomplish something tomorrow. I want you to accomplish it right now. I want you to make the choice to follow Jesus, to ask Him into your life, to ask Him into your hearts, to admit to Him that we're not good enough to do it on our own, that I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and the blood that was on the cross was for me. There's no other way that I can do it. And the fact that you raised again in 3 days means that it wasn't a line of crap. It's 100% for real. If you take that in your souls right now and in your hearts right now, you just sealed your fate. And it was the best decision that you'll ever make in this entire life. Father, we just thank You for this opportunity. This camp has been long but been short. I just pray that You can challenge what's been taught through everybody here these last 3 days. I pray that You just help these kids hold on to something. Take one nugget of truth out of all this and run with it. There's going to be fires lit in the souls and the bellies of the people that are here, and I pray that You don't extinguish them. Don't let them be extinguished. Don't let the flaming arrows of Satan come into our lives and not have our shield of faith be ready to extinguish those arrows. Father, I just pray that whatever we do it to glorify You. Thank You for making this camp work. Thank You for allowing the time to be able to do this and the people that have put it on. Thank You for providing the kids to make this all happen. Let it all not be done in vain. In Your Son's name I pray, amen.